that each part retaineth their natures distinguished, without communicating or mingling of properties, it is to be seen hereby that many be partakers of the sign, and yet are barred from the thing signified. But if the natures of the parts are united or naturally knit together, it must be then that those which be partakers of the signs must be partakers also of the things signified. Examples of Scripture, as they are ready, so are they evident. For Simon Magus, in the Acts of the Apostles, received the sign and was baptized. But the things signified he had not neither received, so much as one iota. And Judas Iscariot, a cruel and faithful traitor of his master, did likewise eat the bread of the Lord. But he did not eat bread of the Lord. Otherwise he had lived happily, just, and blessed forever. For he which eateth me, saith the Lord himself, shall never die. But Judas died everlastingly. Therefore he did not eat that food of life. To these evident testimonies of Scripture, I will now add also certain of St. Augustine's pertaining to that purpose, who in his treatise upon John 26 saith, "We receive this day visible meat, but the sacrament is one thing, and the virtue of the sacrament is another. How many do receive of the things upon the altar, and when they have received it do die? Whereupon the apostle saith, He eateth and drinketh his own damnation. Was not the mortal poison which the Lord gave unto Judas, and yet he received it? And after he had received it, the enemy entered into him, not because that was evil which he received, but because he, being evil, did receive the good thing unworthily. And immediately after, he saith, the sacrament of the thing, that is, of the knitting together of the body and blood of Christ, is received at the Lord's table of some unto life, or of some unto destruction. But the thing itself, whereof it is a sacrament, is received of all men unto life, of none to destruction, whosoever shall be partakers thereof. And again he saith, He that dwelleth not in Christ, nor Christ in him, without doubt he neither eateth his flesh, nor drinketh his blood spiritually. Although carnally and visibly he chew with his teeth the sacraments of the body and blood of Christ, but he doth rather eat and drink the sacrament of so great a thing to his own damnation, and so forth. He hath the like words in his book De Civit Dei, 25th chapter. And in his book De Doctrine Christ 3, cap 9, he showeth that in the conjunction of natures there had need to be a distinction, lest we should stick too much upon the outward sign. Now we come to the proofs of the Scripture. The Apostle witnesses in 1 Corinthians 10 that all our fathers were baptized, and did all eat of one spiritual meat, and did all drink of one manner of spiritual drink. But the Lord in many of them had no delight. Whereas if they had eaten that spiritual meat and drink, eaten that spiritual meat and drunk that spiritual drink spiritually by faith, undoubtedly the Lord had delighted in them. For without faith, as he himself said, it is impossible to please God. Therefore with them that have faith, God is well pleased. Wherefore our fathers truly are partakers of visible sacraments, but they were destitute of invisible grace, whereby it followeth that the sign and the thing signified do retain their natures not confounded or mingled, but distinguished and separated. Besides this, the words of the gospel have some affinity, or at least some likeness, with sacramental signs. Otherwise the words are preferred far before the signs, the apostle saying that he was sent to preach and not to baptize. But many hear with their outward ears the word of the Lord, who for all that, because they are void of faith, are also without the inward fruit of the word. Paul saying yet again, for to us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, because it was not coupled with faith. For so it cometh to pass, that many receive the visible sacraments, and yet are not partakers of the invisible grace, which by faith only is received. Whereupon yet again it followeth, that the sign is not confounded with the thing signified, but both of them do retain their substance and nature distinguished. What? And doth not the scripture expressly and pithily make a difference between the outward ministry of the man and God, the inward worker and giver of spiritual gifts? For John Baptist saith, I baptize you with water, but he, Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Wherewith agreeth that saying of Peter, baptism saveth us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but in that a good conscience maketh request to God. To this now pertaineth that evident testimony of St. Augustine, which is read 3, Quest lib in lit vit, Quest 33, in these words, we must diligently consider, as often as he saith, I the Lord which sanctify him, that he speaketh of the priest, when he also spake this to Moses, and thou shalt sanctify him. How therefore doth both Moses and God also sanctify? For Moses doth not sanctify for the Lord, but Moses doth sanctify in the visible sacraments by his ministry, and the Lord by invisible grace by his Holy Spirit, where the whole fruit of visible sacraments also is. For without this sanctification of invisible grace, what profit have we by visible sacraments? Thus far Augustine, as John Baptist made distinction between his own ministry and baptism and the power of Christ, even so maketh he distinction between the ministry of preaching and the drawing of the spiritual teacher. I am, saith he, the voice of a crier in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And again, he that cometh from on high is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. St. Paul also, agreeing thereunto, saith, who is Paul? What is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Albeit the comparison of ministers with the signs agree not altogether and in every part, which I told you before, because ministers and fellow labourers with Christ according to their office, but the signs which are without life are not so, unless cat et cocaine we translate unto them that which is the ministers. Yet by other proofs I suppose it to be made plain that the sign and the things signify do retain their natures distinguished in the sacraments. These things do specially disprove and convince those who are persuaded of that papistical transubstantiation of bread and wine into the substance of the body and blood of Christ. For these men utterly deny that the bread and wine, being consecrated in the mysteries, do remain in their own substances. For they contend that the substances of bread and wine are annihilated and turned into the very body and blood of the Lord, so that after the consecration, the accidents of bread and wine do remain, and no part of the substance thereof at all. For they say that the Lord, in express words, pronounced over the bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood, and that the Lord can easily bring to pass, by his own omnipotency, that which he said may be as he said. For proof whereof they allege these in such like places, that the Lord, forsooth, fashioned man out of the clay of the earth, and by of the rib of man made woman, and also turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. And therefore that he, by the same power, selfsame power, his power, can make of bread his body, and of wine his blood. And these truly are their bulwarks. But we in another place have plentifully disputed on the meaning of the Lord's words, "This is my body." So it is superfluous to make long repetition of them. I have also told you that of the omnipotency of God we must not gather and determine whatsoever cometh into our brain, and also that God's power doth nothing against truth, neither against itself, and that no godly man ought to take that in bad hand under pretense of the power of God, which is repugnant to the plain scriptures and the articles of the Catholic faith. Now it is evident and plain that after consecration there remaineth in the sacrament the substance of bread and wine. And herein we need no other witnesses than our own very senses, which perceive, see, taste, and feel no other thing than bread and wine. But while clay was turned into a man's body, the rib into a woman, and Lot's wife into a pillar of salt, they were not, as the sacrament of the supper, that which they were before, neither did they appear unto the senses any iota of the clay, of the rib, of Lot's wife. Very foolishly, therefore, and unaptly are these examples applied to the mystery of the Lord's Supper, wherewith they say they nothing agree, which thing also we touched before. The Gospel, very diligently describing the most holy institution of the Lord's Supper, and the manner thereof, maketh no mention of miraculous transubstantiation, but calleth the bread and wine which the Lord took and distributed to his disciples, and which they also received, by the names of bread and wine, as well after the words of consecration, as they term it, were spoken, as also before consecration. Doth not the Lord, in the 26th chapter of Matthew, call the wine being consecrated, not wine only, but the fruit of the vine, after a more vehement and significative kind of speech, lest any should be ignorant that the wine was wine indeed, and so remained. In Mark we read this of the cup, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and they drank of it, and he said unto them, "This is my body, blood of the New Testament," etc. "Lo, they drank all," saith he, "of the cup, before the words of consecration," as they term it, "were spoken. Therefore they drank wine." Now if so be, they answer, that this place of the evangelist is to be expounded by the figure hysteron proteron, that is, when anything is declared out of order preposterously, then admit they tropes and figures in the celebration of the supper, which notwithstanding they have contended ought simply to be understood without the help of tropes or figures. But Paul also, the apostle, in the first, in 1 Corinthians 10, calleth the bread of the Lord, being now in very holy use, and that I may so say consecrated by the name of bread. And in 1 Corinthians 11, the third time he calls it bread. To this appertaineth that the Acts of the Apostles do testify how that the churches of the Apostles do call the whole mystical action the breaking of bread, not the breaking of his body or distribution of his blood. It is manifest, therefore, that the substance of bread and wine in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper do remain in their own nature, and that transubstantiation is a sophistical imagination. This also is a sophistical and a notable papistical forgery, in that they say that the bread and wine consecrated in the supper is therefore called of the apostles bread and wine, because they were bread and wine before. For that is now done which is read in Exodus to have been done in times past, where Aaron's rod is said to devour at the enchanter's rods, which nevertheless then were not rods, but serpents. But now they are named rods, because they were rods before they were so changed, which now are serpents, not rods. But again, Who does not see this example have no similitude or likeness with the bread and wine of the Lord? For the rod truly was called a rod, but in the meanwhile it was, and seemed plainly to be, not no rod, but a serpent. But the bread is called bread, neither does it appear to be anything else but bread. Here is no form of flesh seen, or was seen there the form of a serpent. Besides this, the rod is said to be turned into a serpent, and is showed for a wonder or miracle. But ye shall read in no place that the bread was turned into flesh by any miracle. But a sacrament is instituted, which indeed loseth the name and nature of a sacrament, which, when the substance of the sign be annihilated and made void, nothing remaineth there but the thing signified. For that which they trifingly say of accidents miraculously subsisting without their subject, and remaining instead of a sign, is to no purpose. If we should go about to boast of our dreams for miracles, there will be nothing so absurd and foolish which we shall not colour with our fancies and lies. What if this word transubstantiation doth manifestly prove that this whole trifling toy is not fetched from the simple and plain doctrine of the apostles, but from the subtle school of quarrelsome sophisters? But the apostle Paul giveth us in charge to beware both of philosophy and strangeness of words, though at this present we do not only entreat of new words, but also of new matter, new doctrine, contrary in all points to the apostles. For this doctrine of transubstantiation is clean contrary both to the doctrine of the apostles and evangelists, touching the true incarnation of our Lord, and the true nature and property of his human body, and also the true raising up again of our bodies. For they are constrained to forge many things altogether miraculous, as of the invisible body of Christ, and of the subtle body of Christ piercing by his subtlety through the gate and the stone. I mean that which covered his sepulchre, or the Lord's very body being altogether and at one time in many places, and filling all things, and other innumerable which are of this stamp absurd and wicked. Now also Jones Scotus, a subtle doctor, in his work sent in distinct 2 lib 4 quest 3, saith that the article of transubstantiation is neither expressed in the creed of the apostles, neither in those creeds of the ancient fathers, but that it was brought in and invented of the church, Sothesini, meaning the Roman church, under Innocentius III in the Council of Lateran, whereby we gather that the doctrine of substantiation is of late time and newly start up, the history whereof we have elsewhere more largely compiled. But by this that I have said, I think it plainly and effectually enough declared that the signs are not mingled with the things signified, or changed into them, but that each of them remain in their several natures. But albeit either of the parts without mixture do retain their own nature, yet those two agree in one sacrament, and being joined together, and not divided, do make one perfect and lawful sacrament. For water alone, both privately and ordinarily sprinkled, is no sacrament, unless it be applied and used according to the institution of Christ, purifying also, or washing away of sins, and the engrafting or receiving into the league and fellowship of God and all saints, of itself is no sacrament, unless there be also a sprinkling of water in the name of the Blessed Trinity. In like manner, it is no sacrament if we eat bread in a common assembly, and drink wine of the selfsame cup after the common manner, neither is it a sacrament if through a faithful remembrance thou consider that the Lord's body was betrayed for thee, and his blood shed for thee, for the which also thou givest thanks. But so far forth as they are all mysteries of God and our salvation, they are generally termed sacraments, that is secret and spiritual mysteries of God and our salvation. For in a perfect and lawful sacrament, there must needs go together both the holy action, corporal or sensible, and the spiritual celebration thereof, for the which this sacramental action was invented and put in practice. But here some move many and diverse questions touching the sacramental union, whether it is personal, real, or rational. I, because I see nothing of this matter doubtfully, delivered of the apostles, and that the thing being plain of itself, by such manner of sophistications is made dark, doubtful, difficult, and obscure, simply and plainly say that the sign and the thing signified are joined together in the sacraments by God's institution, by faithful contemplation and use, to be short, in signification and likeness of the things. But I utterly deny that those two are naturally united together, so that the sign in the sacrament beginneth to be that which the thing signified is in his own substance and nature. I deny that the thing signified is joined corporally with the sign, so that the sign remaineth still in his own substance and nature, and yet nevertheless in the meantime hath the thing signified corporally joined unto it. That thereby whosoever is partaker of the sign should be also by the sign or with the sign partaker of the thing itself. But the reason why I do so constantly deny that appeareth, I think sufficiently by those examples which I have hitherto declared, and which hereafter shall be declared. Furthermore, I say that the sign and the thing signified are coupled together by God's institution, because he which instituted the sacrament of baptism and the supper instituted it not to this end that with water we might wash away the filth of the body, as a custom is to do by daily use of baths, neither that we should take our fill of the bread and wine, but that under visible signs he might commend unto us the mysteries of our redemption and his grace, and to be short of our salvation, by representing them to renew them, and by seeming them to confirm them. My saying is that they are coupled together in faithful contemplation, because they which partake the sacraments religiously do not fasten their eyes on sensible things only, but rather on things insensible, signified, and heavenly, so that the faithful have in themselves both twain coupled together, which otherwise in the sign or with the sign are knit together with no bond. For corporally and sensibly they receive the signs, but spiritually they possess, comprehend, renew and exercise the things signified. In the signification and likeness of the things, I say, they are coupled together, because the sign is a token of the thing signified. And unless signs have likeness with those things whereof they are signs, then they would be no signs. They have therefore most apt and very near affinity between themselves, for as water washeth away the filth of the body, as bread and wine satisfieth and maketh merry the heart of man, even so by the grace of God the people of God are purified, and even so, the body and blood of the Lord, which was given for us, being apprehended by faith, doth both satisfy and make merry the whole man, that he may yield himself wholly unto thanksgiving and obedient to God would. I would speak here more largely of the analogy, or of the sign and thing signified, but that I see I may do the same hereafter in a place more convenient. But I think I shall not need any more places out of the Scripture to open these things more evidently, since they follow of their own accord upon that which we have hitherto by testimonies of Scripture confirmed and will hereafter more at large confirm. Moreover, in respect to the likeness of the sign and the thing signified, the name of the one is given to the other, as I will prove by most evident testimonies of Scripture. In Genesis 17, the Lord saith thus to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, both thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. The mouth of the Lord has spoken this. Who will gainsay the word of God? The word of God calleth circumcision a covenant. Therefore the name of the thing signified is given to the sign. For in very deed circumcision is not the covenant itself. For the covenant is the bargain and agreement between God and man, which hath certain conditions and articles. Wherefore afterward, by interpretation, the same circumcision is called a token of the covenant. And who will find fault with this interpretation of God? The signs, therefore, yea, God being the interpreter, take the names of the things signified. So you may read in the 12th chapter of Exodus, ye shall eat the lamb in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. Again, and the blood shall be unto you a sign in the houses wherein you are, etc. And again, this day shall be unto you a remembrance, etc. What can be spoken more plainly than that the lamb is the Passover? But what is the proper meaning of the Passover? Let us give ear to the Lord, here again expounding himself and saying, I will pass through the land of Egypt this same night, and will smite all the firstborn of Egypt, from man to beast. And when I see the blood of the lamb, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Behold, the Passover, God himself so interpreting it, is that passing over, whereby the angel of God, passing over the houses of the Israelites, which were marked with the blood of the lamb, spared the firstborn, and slew the firstborn of the Egyptians. If thou art ignorant what and what manner of lamb it was, listen again to the Lord instructing thee, and saying, In the tenth day of this month, every man take unto him a lamb, according to the household. And let your lamb be without blemish, a male of a year old, which ye shall take out from among the sheep, and from among the goats. And here the lamb is plainly called the Passover. And who does not see that the lamb is not the Passover? Yet because it is a sign or remembrance of the Passover, as the mouth of the Lord saith, surely it taketh the name of the Passover, or Passover, or passing by. Again you read in the 19th of Numbers, Thus spake the Lord unto Moses, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red cow without blemish, and ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her without the host, and cause her to be slain before his face, and to be burnt whole. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the cow, and lay them without the host in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the multitude of the children of Israel, for a water of separation, or sprinkling, for it is sin. Mark again the manner of the speaking of the scripture. A heifer, or cow, is sin, that is, a sacrifice for sin. As Christ is said to be made sin for us, that for or by sin he might condemn sin, which is, that by the only oblation of his body he might cleanse and purge us from sin, hitherto also belongeth that which the apostle, speaking of sacrifices unto the Hebrews, saith. But in these sacrifices there is mention made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. As often, therefore, as sacrifices, as heifers, goats, bulls, and lambs, are called sanctifications, cleansing, or sins, and the signs taken the names of the things signified. For these were certain types and figures of the priest which was to come, and of Christ, upon whom all our sins are laid. For he truly is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now we come also to the sacraments and the New Testament, whose signs also bear the names of the things signified. For Peter saith, Acts 2, Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, And Paul also in the Acts of the Apostle heareth, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins by calling on the name of the Lord. Therefore truly baptism is called a cleansing, or a washing away of sins. And Peter also elsewhere saith, baptism saveth you, not that thereby the filth of the flesh is put away, but in that a good conscience maketh request unto God. And Paul also saith, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Therefore the due and right comparing of the places between themselves doth manifestly prove that to the sign of baptism, which is water, is given the name of the thing signified. After the same manner is it to be seen in the institution of the Lord's Supper, or Eucharist. The bread is called the body of Christ, and the wine the blood of Christ. But since the right faith believeth that the true body of Christ ascended out of this world, liveth, and is now in heaven, and that the Lord returns no more into this world until he come in the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead, every man understandeth that to the sign, to wit bread and wine, the names of the things themselves, to wit the body and blood of Christ, are given through the communicating of names. Many other speeches used in the scripture and in our daily talk are not much unlike to the speeches used in the sacrament. We read that Christ is called a lion, a lamb, a shepherd, a vine, a door, a way, a ladder, the day, the light, the sun, the water, a bread, a spring, and a rock, which at this day any should roughly urge, contending that Christ is a lamb indeed, a door in substance, a natural vine or such like, who, I pray you, could abide him so reasoning? We would hiss and drive out from among us such a one as a madman and a perverter of God's oracles. We read indeed, and that rock was Christ. In the meantime, it is to be considered what would follow. For if that rock really and in very deed had been Christ, none of them that drank of that rock had been reprobates, but they are acceptable unto God which are partakers of Christ. But in many of them that drank of the rock, the Lord had no delight, for they were slain in the wilderness. Therefore they which drank of the rock which was Christ were not made partakers of Christ. Therefore the rock was not Christ really and in very deed. We also, seeing the standards of kings, princes, and cities, we call the signs by the names of the kings, princes, and cities. For we say, this is the King of France, this is the Prince of Germany, this is Tigur, this is Bern. So if we see the marriage ring or the image of any prince, we call it the faith and truth of wedlock, of man and wife. Yea, and we say by the image, this is the prince. For matrons, showing their wedding rings, say, this is my husband. When we show to any man the picture or image of the Duke of Saxony, we say, this is the Duke of Saxony. If any should go obstinately to affirm that the sign in very deed is a thing signified, because it beareth the name thereof, would not all men cry out that such a one were without wit or reason, and that he were to be abhorred by all means as an obstinate brawler? Those therefore that are skilful in the things understood, that this is and hath been Catholic, received of all men, and also sound, which we showed even now at large, to wit, that the signs do borrow the names of the things, and not turn into the things which they signify. And therefore the ancient fathers moved no strife nor contentions about the sacraments, as are at this day among us. For as they did beautify the signs with the names of things signify, so did they acknowledge the kind of speech. Neither did they roughly urge the words, as though the very signs were really and corporeally that self-same thing which they signified. Therefore, this canon or rule is so often repeated and beaten upon by Aurelius Augustine, that the signs do take or borrow the names of the things signified. By the same canon or rule, he maketh plain certain dark places, of which thing we shall now set down some testimonies. In his epistle 23 ad Bonifacium de Parvulorum Baptismate, he saith, if sacraments had not some likeness with those things whereof they are sacraments, no doubt they were no sacraments, for of this likeness, for the most part, they take the names of the things themselves, as also the apostle, speaking of baptism, saith, we are buried by Christ by baptism into his death. He does not say we signify the burial, but he doth flatly say we are buried. Therefore he called the sacrament of so great a thing no otherwise but by the name of the selfsame thing. And in Tract Super Joan 63, when the unclean person is gone, all which remain are clean. Just the like thing shall there be when the world, being overcome of Christ, shall pass away, and there shall no unclean person remain among the people of God. When the tares, being separated from the wheat, the just shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The Lord, foreseeing this would come to pass, and now witnessing that it was signified, when Judas fell away as tares separated, the holy apostles remaining as wheat, he saith, now is the Son glorified, as if he had said, behold, what shall be when I am glorified, where there shall be no wicked person, and where no good man shall perish. For he saith not thus, now is the glorifying of the Son of Man signified, but he saith, now is the Son of Man glorified. And it is not said, the rock signified Christ, but the rock was Christ. Neither is it said, the good seed signifieth the children of the kingdom, but he said, the good seed, these are the children of the kingdom, and the tares, the children of the wicked. As the scripture therefore is one to speak, calling the things which signify as the things that are signified, even so spake the Lord, saying, now is the Son of Man glorified, after that wicked Judas was separated, and his holy apostles remaining with him, his glorification was signified, when the wicked being divided, he shall remain eternally with the saints. The same Aurelius Augustine, in his epistle to Evodius 102, saith, the sound of the voice, and the bodily shape of a dove, and the cloven tongues like unto fire, which came upon every one of them, as those things in Mount Sinai, which were done after a most fearful manner, and as that pillar of the cloud by day, and that pillar of fire by night, were ordained and set for some operation which they signified. Herein we must specially take heed of this, that none be persuaded or believe that the nature and substance of the Father, or of the Son, or of the Holy Ghost is changeable, or may be turned, neither let any man be moved for that sometime the thing which signifieth taketh the name of that thing which is signified. The Holy Ghost is said to descend and remain upon him in the bodily shape of a dove, so also is the rock Christ, because it signifieth Christ. By these examples alleged out of the scripture, it is plain that the signs do borrow the names of the things, and not their natures and substances. Whereupon it is undoubtedly true that they err as far as heaven is wide, which are persuaded that the sacramental speeches are not to be expounded as figurative and borrowed, but most properly and literally, so that by that means the water, bread, and wine are not now signs and tokens only of regeneration, and of the body of Christ given, and of his blood shed for us, but regeneration itself, and the very substantial body and blood of our Lord Jesus. For being of this opinion, they are offensive unto the common manner, both of speaking and interpreting, used in all ages. They are also repugnant to true faith. yea, unto common sense, whereby it cometh to pass that by their confounding of the sign with the thing signified, they bring in a servile weakness, and that, I may use St. Augustine's words, a carnal bondage. For he, li 3, de doct, chris, capt 9, entreating of the sacraments of Christians, saith, the Lord himself and the apostles in their doctrine have left us few things instead of many, and those most easy to be done, most reverent in understanding, and most pure in observing, as is baptism, and the celebration of the body and blood of the Lord, which sacraments every man, when he receiveth, being instructed, acknowledgeth whereunto they are referred, that we should not worship them with carnal servitude or bondage, but rather with spiritual freedom or liberty. And as to follow the letter, and to take the signs instead of the things which are signified by them, is a point of servile weakness, so to expound the signs unprofitably is a point of evil wandering error. And yet he speaketh more plainly, chapter 5. First of all, you must beware, lest you take a figurative speech according to the letter. For to this agreeth that which the apostle saith, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For when that which is figuratively spoken is taken as though it were spoken properly, it is carnally understood, standard. Neither is there anything that may more agreeably be termed the death of the soul, that when that wherein we excel beasts, which is understanding or knowledge, is made subject to the flesh by following the letter. For he that followeth the letter understandeth words translated or borrowed as proper or natural, neither doth he refer that which is signified by a proper word to another signification. For if, for example, he shall hear mention of the Sabbath, he understandeth it no otherwise but as one day of the seven, which by continual course come and go. And when he heareth mention made of sacrifice, it will not out of his head, but that this is meant of that which was wont to be done about offering of beasts and fruits of the earth. To be short, this is the miserable bondage of the soul, to take the signs for the things themselves, and not to be able to lift up the eyes of the mind above the bodily creature for the obtaining of everlasting life. Light. For thus far Augustine. By these words of Augustine we do gather that they reverence the sacraments by spiritual liberty, which neither stick to the letter, neither worship and reverence of visible things and elements as water, bread, and wine, instead of the things signified, but being rather admonished and stirred up by the signs, they are lifted up in their minds to behold the things signified. This same Augustine, in the same book, chapter 15, teaching when and after what manner a troop or a figure is to be received or acknowledged, as saith, in figurative speeches, this manner of rule shall be kept, that so long you view with diligent consideration what is read, until the interpretation come into the rule of charity. For if it be not repugnant to charity, think not that it is a figurative speech. Yet more plainly, he addeth in the 16th chapter following, if it be an imperative speech, either forbidding any heinous offence or wicked deed, or commanding any profitable or good deed, it is no figurative speech. But if it command any wicked dead, or forbid any deed of charity, then it is figurative. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He seemeth to command some horrible offence or wicked deed. Therefore it is a figurative speech, commanding us to communicate with the passion of Christ, and comfortably and profitably to lay up in our remembrance that his flesh was crucified and wounded for us. The scripture saith, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Here no man doubteth, but he commandeth well-doing, but that which followeth. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. A man would think that a wicked and evil deed were commanded. Therefore doubt not, but that it is figuratively spoken. And so forth. All these things do convince their error, which interprets sacramental speeches as proper, and reject all figures and types, especially in the institution of the supper. Nevertheless, I am not ignorant what they set against this last testimony of St. Augustine, that the words of our Saviour in the 6th of John do make nothing to the interpretation of the ministration of the sacrament, and therefore that the place of St. Augustine does nothing agree to our purpose. But it is manifest that in the same book St. Augustine disputeth of signs and of the sacramental speeches, and that is manifest also by many other places out of St. Augustine, that he often alleged these words of our Saviour out of the 6th of John to expound the celebration of the supper. But why do they nothing pertain to the celebration of the supper? Does he speak of one body in the supper, and of another in the 6th chapter of John? Shall we believe that the Lord had and hath two bodies? Our Lord Jesus hath but one body, the which, as it profiteth nothing, being eaten corporally, according to St. John 6th chapter, even so that body, being corporally eaten, doth nothing avail, according to St. Matthew 26th chapter. But this matter we have elsewhere handled. And of as little force is this unsavoury objection of theirs, which is that the consequence is false when we argue thus. Circumcision is the covenant. The lamb is the Passover. Sacrifices are sins, and sanctifications or cleansings are sacramental speeches, mystical and figurative. Therefore this also, this is my body, is a mystical and figurative speech. For since in sacraments there is the like reason, why may we not frame argument from the one to the other? And that sacraments have the like reason, it is received of all them which acknowledge the truth aright, and it shall be proved hereafter to the full. But if it be not lawful to reason from the sacraments of the Old Testament, and by them after a certain comparison to interpret ours, and by ours to make them plain, truly then the apostle did not well, who by a false consequent by comparison we read to have argued from their sacraments unto ours, in 1 Corinthians 10, and to the Colossians 2 chapter. But now we return to our purpose, that we may yet at length make an end of this place. They are sacramental and figurative speeches, when we read and hear that the bread is the body of Christ, and the wine is the blood of Christ, and that they do eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, which eat and drink the sacrament of the body and blood of the Lord. Also that they are purged from their sins, and regenerated into a new life, which are baptized in the name of Christ, and that baptism is the washing away of our sins. And after this manner speaketh the Scripture, and this form of speech kept the old doctors of the church, whom for so doing none that is wise doth dispraise. Neither can one discommend any man which speaketh after this manner, so that he also abide in the same sincerity, wherein is manifest that those holy men of God did walk. For as they did willingly and simply use these speeches, so did they not roughly and rigorously strain the letter and the speeches. They did interpret them in such sort that none was so unskilful but that he might understand that the signs were not the thing itself which were signified, but that the signs do take the names of the things. Therefore they use words signicatively, sacramentally, mystically, and figuratively. Now, whereas some will not have the sacramental speeches to be expounded as though, being not expounded, they were of more authority, majesty, and worthiness. This draweth after it a sore danger, and giveth a most grievous offence, and is repugnant to the rule of the apostles, to sound reason, and to the custom of them of old. For when these kind of speeches are set forth, and uttered to the simple sort, being not expounded, to wit, that bread is the body of Christ, when thou drinkest the wine of the Lord, thou drinkest the very blood of the Lord, baptism saveth us, etc., what other thing, I pray you, is set forth than a snare of carnal bondage, and the most dangerous offence of idolatry? Many words need not in this matter, since experience hath abundantly enough set forth in this place what hath been done, and what at this day is done. The rule of the apostles commandeth the divine oracles to be expounded in the church, and to lay forth all the mysteries of the scripture, that they may be soundly understanded, as we may see 1 Corinthians 14. And reason itself teaches us that the mind of man is little or nothing moved, if the things themselves be not understood. What fruit, therefore, shall the simple sort receive by the sacraments, unto whom the meaning of the sacraments have not been opened? Better, therefore, did the ancient fathers, not only in expounding all the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and especially the sacraments, but in teaching also that they ought to be expounded, which although it be made plain enough by those things which go before, yet will I add two examples out of St. Augustine touching this matter. He, cap 6, de Cathisandis Rudibus, saith, let the new Christian man be taught concerning the sacraments, that they be visible signs of heavenly things, and that invisible things are to be honoured in them, neither that the sign, after it is blessed and sanctified, is so to be taken as it is daily used. It must also be told him what that speech signifies which he heareth, and what thing is given in the sign whereof it is a representation. Moreover, upon this occasion he must be taught that if he hear anything, even in the scriptures, that soundeth carnally, although he understandeth it not, yet to believe that same spiritual thing is signified thereby, which belongeth to holy manners and to the life to come. And as followeth, the same Augustine, lib 4, de doctrine, Christ, cap 8, doth utterly forbid the doctors and teachers of the church not to think that they ought therefore to speak obscurely of the mysteries of the scripture, because they see that these things are delivered somewhat intricately and darkly in the scripture, but he rather requireth light and plainness in them. If any man desire to hear his words, they are these. If we fetch examples of the manner of speaking out of the writings of our canonical authors and doctors, which are easily understood, yet we ought not to think that we should follow them also in those speeches wherein they have used a profitable and wholesome obscurity to exercise, and as it were to quicken, the reader's minds, and to take away loathsomeness, and to stir up the studies of the willing learners, and also to make the minds of the wicked zealous, that they may either be turned to godliness, or else excluded from the mysteries. For so they spake, that those which came after them, and could understand and rightly expound them, might reveal a second grace unlike to the former, but yet ensuing in the church of God. Therefore they which expound them ought not so to speak, as if they by the like authority would offer themselves to be expounded, but in all their kind of speeches, first let them labour chiefly, and first of all to be understanded, with as plain kind of speaking as they can, that he be very dull and slow-witted, which doth not understand, or at the least let not the fault of the hardness and subtlety of the things which we go about to open and declare be in our own speech, whereby that which we speak should be somewhat longer in understanding. Thus far Augustine. And let this that I have hitherto said of sacramental speeches be sufficient. The Lord be praised. Amen. This recording ends on page 292.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit puritandownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.